from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast via shortwave on 9525 kilohertz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.
Hello listener, wherever you are. Now I would like to tell you the programs for today's edition of our programs. We will begin with the news that is followed by Commander Ray, Today in History, My Indonesia, Indonesian Wonder, and My Language. And then, to end this edition, we will be presenting the musics in the Music Corner. Well then, listener, happy listening!
At RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with the news. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo and Sultan Hasan Al-Bolkiah discuss protection for migrant workers. Ministry of Education and Culture keeps boosting Indonesian culture. Now the news in detail. President Joko Widodo and Brunei Darussalam Sultan Hasan Al-Bolkiah discuss efforts to protect Indonesian citizens, particularly migrant workers, in a meeting today. Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi said on Wednesday there are about 80,000 Indonesian citizens in Brunei Darussalam. Brunei has a total population of 400,000 people. Therefore, the protection problem is an important thing to discuss. Minister Retno also stated that the government of Indonesia is preparing the text of a memorandum of understanding on the placement and protection of Indonesian workers. In addition to discussing about the protection of Indonesian citizens, President Joko Widodo and Sultan Brunei Darussalam Hasan Al-Bolkiah also discuss economic cooperation between the two countries in the field of trade and investment. The theme of National Education 2018 is Strengthening Education, Boosting Culture. Minister of Education and Culture Muhajir Effendi said that national culture is the root of national education. After the commemoration of National Education Day in the ministry's office in Jakarta on May the 2nd, he explained that after going through the long process, the culture bill was successfully legalized last year and it becomes a platform to undergo culture in Indonesia. The law states that culture development needs strategic steps to protect, develop, utilize, and supervise Indonesian people to be politically sovereign and economically prosperous and strong personality in culture.
Kita sekarang sedang berupaya untuk terus memajukan kebudayaan kita.
Now we are trying to develop our culture constitutionally and institutionally. We have an ability to run the law number 5 2017 on culture development. It is our turning point to settle our culture. We have known since 72 years. Our independence has never had a law that rules about culture. Now we have a constitutional investment in culture.
Kita belum punya undang-undang yang mengatur tentang kebudayaan dan kita sekarang sudah punya modal konstitusional untuk bergerak lebih cepat di sektor kebudayaan.
Minister Muhajir added that his side can meet rules from the law to organize budget and culture organization. He emphasized that culture can be a foundation from Indonesia education. He also remarked that culture has been number 2 after education. In fact, culture is the root of national education. The number of followers of Islam in Japan continues to experience rapid growth. Almost every week, there is one or two Japanese citizens, especially its younger generation, who embrace Islam. This was stated by Amin Kimiaki Tokumasu, president of Japan Muslim Association, to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia on the sidelines of the high-level consultation of world Muslim scholars on Wasatiyat or Moderate Islam held in Bogor, West Java from May the 1st until 3rd. According to Kimiaki, nowadays the Japanese people are willing to learn and understand the teachings of Islam and view Islam as a guide of life.
And now, I think Islam, Japanese can get very good point as a guide of life. So I think this is chance. And at the same time, Japanese people, they understand Islam. I think some of them entered Islam. In fact, whole association, every week, one Japanese young man became Islam. Every week, at least two or three Japanese enter Islam.
According to Kimiaki, in the past, the most of Japanese society were farmers who worship to the nature. But in line with the development of time, they feel the need to have good guidelines for life, and then they are interested and learn about Islam. He added that today Islam is a minority in Japan, but there is hope that it will be a great religion in the future. Indonesian Foreign Ministry and Creative Economy Agency will hold a conference to boost Indonesian creative economy in World Conference on Creative Economy. This conference is held for the first time. In addition to Indonesia, the conference will also invite 51 countries covering Asian continents, Europe, Africa, and America to exchange experience and share thoughts with creative economy. Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi remarked in her welcoming speech at the gala dinner of the conference on Wednesday that the creative economy has a major role in economy and global development.
Creative economy is one of the future drivers of global economic growth and development. Even today, creative economy has become the most rapid growing sector, capitalizing more than $2.25 trillion, providing nearly 30 million jobs. In Indonesia, the growth of creative economy has been very impressive, becoming an important contributor to our economic and social development.
Minister Retno added that today, Indonesian business is in creative economy has developed rapidly, such as Gojek, Traveloka, Tokopedia, and Bukalapak. She also disclosed that the existence of this creative business is able to increase employment and social impact. The conference will be held for 2 days in Bali in November 2018. It will discuss important components related to creative economy and medium businesses. The conference also invites ministries of creative economy agencies from other countries and business people to exchange experience and establish cooperation with Indonesia. Extreme and radical interpretation of Islamic teachings can lead to false thoughts and action. This was stated by Fazal Ghani Kakar, a member of Afghanistan Surah Nahdlatul Ulama Council, to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia on the sidelines of the high-level consultation of world Muslim scholars on wasatiyat or moderate Islam that took place from May the 1st until 3rd at Novotel Hotel Bogor, West Java, Indonesia. According to Fazal Ghani, his country, Afghanistan, has suffered for 40 years due to the extreme and radical understanding of Islam. Therefore, Muslim scholars in his country will combat or improve that wrong interpretation by teaching and providing a true understanding of Islam by educating the young generations of Afghanistan through wasatiyat Islam.
Yeah, actually, as you see, we in Afghanistan are suffering for the last 40 years. And one of the basic reason of these sufferings is the extreme and the radical interpretations that some people and some groups make from the teachings of Islam. That's why we have to work on the other side, that is the wasatiyat of Islam, in the real picture of Islam to be presented to our youths and to the people back in the country.
According to Fazal Ghani, radicalism arises due to ignorance and jahiliya, or lack of knowledge in understanding the true teachings of Islam. Thus, Muslim scholars in Afghanistan, through campaign and hard work, will provide true education about Islam to the young generation. He also emphasized that radicalism exists in various places in this world, then good cooperation between scholars and Muslim believers is needed, and there is possibility to build cooperation with other religions. Indonesia and Brunei Darussalam are committed to strengthening bilateral cooperation in various fields. One of the commitments is realized through the visit of Sultan Yang Dipertuan Brunei Darussalam, Haji Hasanah Bolkiah, to Indonesia from May the 2nd until the 4th. The 29th Sultan of Brunei met President Joko Widodo on Thursday, May the 3rd at the State Palace in Jakarta. Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi told reporters in Jakarta on Wednesday, May the 2nd, that the bilateral meeting will discuss efforts to strengthen bilateral relations and cooperation in various sectors, especially the protection of Indonesian citizens.
Rencananya, satu tentunya tetap bicara mengenai masalah ekonomi.
First, the meeting is talking about the economy, trade, investment, and so forth. The second is people-to-people contact in the sense that the number of Indonesian citizens living in Brunei Darussalam reaches about 80,000 people. Well, 80,000 from 400,000 of Brunei Darussalam residents means that 20% of Brunei Darussalam population is Indonesians. So the problem of protection of Indonesian citizens who live there is also very important for Indonesia.
Warga negara Indonesia yang tinggal di sana juga merupakan hal yang penting sekali buat Indonesia.
Minister Retno Marsudi further said that currently Indonesia and Brunei Darussalam are preparing a Memorandum of Understanding, MOU, related to the placement and protection of Indonesian migrant workers. However, she remarked that the MOU was not signed in this bilateral meeting. She also said that the memorandum of understanding that has entered the finalization stage can be signed by both countries at the next bilateral meeting in the near future. In addition to discussing the strengthening of bilateral relations and cooperation between the two countries, Indonesia also offered its strategic industry to Brunei Darussalam. Last item. Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi stated that Indonesia is ready to be a meeting place between North Korean leader Kim Jong-un and United States President Donald Trump. The statement was made during a meeting with South Korean Deputy Foreign Minister Lim Sung-nam in Jakarta on Wednesday, May the 2nd. The statement is a follow-up of President Joko Widodo's offer to South Korean Ambassador to Indonesia Kim Cheng-bom and North Korean Ambassador to Indonesia An Kwang-il, who were invited to the State Palace in Jakarta some time ago. After meeting Lim Sung-nam, Minister Retno Marsudi disclosed to reporters that he has not been able to confirm when and where the meeting would be held.
Intinya adalah kita siap. Presiden, jadi
the point is that we are ready, so it must be understood. The president's statement is in full that he is ready if they want it. We talk about the issue when the meeting will be held and where it is are still unclear. From the media, it is mentioned there are 3 weeks or 4 weeks, but officially, he cannot deliver whether 3 weeks or 4 weeks and so on because it has not been decided. Minister Retno Marsudi added that South Korea cannot determine when and where the meetings between North Korea and U.S. leaders will be held. Therefore, all decisions related to the meeting are in the hands of North Korea and the United States as two interested parties. According to the plan, the two leaders will hold a meeting to discuss the Korean peace plan and denuclearization. The plan of the meeting is the country's follow-up to a meeting between North Korean leader Kim Jong-un and South Korean President Moon Jae-in at the Joint Security Area in Panmunjom more recently. In the meeting, there were positive agreements towards peace or reunification of Korea and North Korea's nuclear disarmament. To end the news, here are the main points once again. President Joko Widodo and Sultan Hasanah Bolkiah discussed protection for migrant workers. Ministry of Education and Culture keeps boosting Indonesian culture. That was the end of the news. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Commentary. Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary. The title of today's commentary is International Press Freedom Day. On May 10, 1993, there was a major event. The event was necessary to be studied, especially for media people. because on the 3rd of May, the basic principle of press freedom were commemorated to maintain the freedom of media from any attack or independency. This also paid tribute to the fallen media people in carrying out their profession. On this day, the momentum of the world press community occurred to promote the basic principle of press freedom. What about Indonesian plural and diverse society with all its problems? Right for the World considers that Indonesia is one of the largest democracies in the world and holds a commitment to guarantee the press of freedom and freedom of expression. In 2018 and 2019, Indonesia is in the process of political years. Many political elites, public figures, and political party leaders often made new friends that bias between their political interests and concern of their people. Very often, there are hate speech, contradiction, call for anarchy because they want to attract the most votes, and triumphs, not to mention the dissemination of false information and or hoax. Here the media as mediator must play a major role, how to provide correct information rather than hoaxes, and how to balance among the interests of political parties, political opponents, and society. The media should not become the trigger of the commission so that people can be avoided from provocation as a result of the commission. It is no secret that the largest stakeholders or mass media owners are those who are engaged in the world of politics. In presenting the information, they could include messages to follow their political ideals. On the occasion of International Press Freedom Day, it is time for media people in Indonesia to learn from history, the struggle to fight for the freedom of the press, both in the country and overseas, because many lessons can be experienced to be more mature in disseminating information or educating the community. So the media is wise to receive the information obtained and does not cause anxiety and anarchy. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program, Today in History, over Air World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Well, we start for an event on May 3, 1960, when European Free Trade Association was established. European Free Trade Association was alternative trade bloc of European countries which were not able to join in the European Economic Community, which becomes European Union now. Its goal is to hold free trade of inter-member countries and to encourage free trade as a media to achieve growth and prosperity among member countries. The European Free Trade Association was established by Norway and Sweden. Currently, only Ireland, Norway, Sweden, and Liechtenstein still become members of the association. The next event was in 1985. Elias Pikal became the winner of IBF Junior Bantam Class. Elias Pikal was born in Ulta, Saparua, Central Maluku, Maluku on March 24, 1960. He was a professional boxer from Indonesia who became the first world champion from Indonesia. Elias Pikal has fallen in love to boxing sport since watching boxing competition on TVRI, especially Muhammad Ali match. His professional career began in 1983 in junior bantam class. Since that time, he achieved series of achievements such as winner of OPBF after defeating Hyun Chung from South Korea with a score 12 rounds on May 19, 1984 in Seoul, South Korea. Due to his victory, Pikal became the first professional boxer from Indonesia who succeeded to achieve international title overseas. He grabbed IBF title on junior bantam class from Korean boxer Chung Judo in Jakarta on May 3, 1985. Along his career, his records were 20 victories with 11 KOs and 1 draw and 5 defeats. And the last event is about International Freedom Press Day. In 1993, the UN Assembly determined May 3rd as a day to commemorate the basic principle of press freedom. Since the time, May 3rd has been commemorated to defend freedom of media from independence attack and to keep honorable to journalists who died in running their profession. May 3rd becomes the day to encourage public initiative to struggle the independence of press. International Freedom Press Day also becomes the momentum to remind the government to honor its commitment on press freedom. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
Listener, welcome to My Indonesia. Today we'll bring a topic about the Indonesian government eliminates wildlife crimes. The Ministry of Environment and Forestry and the parties who concern for the conservation of plants and wildlife on Monday, April 30, committed to combating crime against plants and wildlife by destroying 8 trucks of booties and public goods. It will be destroyed by using thermal technology with kiln cement to reduce combustion gas emissions in Pelabuhan Ratu Lebak, Banten Province. Director General of Law Enforcement Ministry of Environment and Forestry, Rasio Rido Sani, who representing the Environment Minister in Jakarta on April 30, said illegal trafficking of illegal wild plants and animals is now very serious and becomes attention of the world countries. It was recorded 187 cases related to the plants and wild animals that have been handled by the Ministry of Environment and Forestry for the last 3 years to successfully seize almost 13,000 animals and more than 10,000 pairs of animals as evidence. He said that from the cases, various actors were involved, including international syndicates. The United Nations on Drugs and Crime, UNODC, noted that wildlife crimes included into the category of transnational crime, so that making the crime as a serious crime. Wildlife crime has high economic value, involving actors on the field level up to investors and even unscrupulous officers, so that the crime is very difficult to eradicate. Wildlife crime is not only related to the economic value, but also the value of conservation and environment that cannot be measured economically. Rasio Rido Sani moreover added that in Indonesia, wildlife crime is already in the third ranks after drug crimes and human trafficking, with transaction value based on Financial Reporting and Analysis Center data estimated more than 13 trillion rupiah per year, and its value continues to increase. To strengthen effort to eradicate the crime over protected plants and animals, the ministry is currently strengthening surveillance and intelligence systems based on information technology, including monitoring illegal wildlife trade online through cyber patrol, establishing and integrated with the Central Intelligence of Environment and Forestry Ministry's law enforcement. The event of crime against the plant and wildlife was also attended by, among others, Director of Criminal Acts of Police Headquarters, Brigadier General Fadli Imran, and Deputy of Life Sciences of LIPI, Professor Erni Sudarmonowati. That was My Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Time now to bring you news in brief. President Joko Widodo and Brunei Darussalam Sultan Hassanal Bolkiah discussed efforts to protect Indonesian citizens, particularly migrant workers, in a meeting in Brunei Darussalam on Thursday. The theme of National Education 2018 is Strengthening Education, Boosting Culture. Minister of Education and Culture Muhajir Effendi said that national culture is the root of national education. The number of followers of Islam in Japan continues to experience rapid growth. Almost every week, there are one or two Japanese citizens, especially the younger generation, embrace Islam. Foreign Ministry and Creative Economy Agency will hold a conference to boost Indonesian creative economy called World Conference on Creative Economy. Extreme and radical interpretation of Islamic teaching can lead to false thoughts and action, as stated by Fazal Ghani Kakar, a member of the Afghanistan Surah Nahdlatul Ulama Council, to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Indonesia and Brunei Darussalam are committed to strengthening bilateral cooperation in various fields. Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi stated that Indonesia is ready to be a meeting place between North Korean leader Kim Jong-un and United States President Donald Trump. That was the end of News in Brief over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will introduce you to Jowo Sekatul Village in Kendal. Stay tuned. The nuance of rural area, where only available torch lighting, no television, but can access internet. Farmers plowing the rice field by using buffalo, bird song, adding peaceful atmosphere in the morning. The atmosphere will be obtained at Kampung Jowo, located in Duku Sekatul, Margosari Village, Limbangan Sub-District, Kendal Regency, Central Java. Kampung Jowo is a tourism object with an area of about 12 hectares and located at the foot of Mount Ungaran. The tourist object has a beautiful natural panorama with cool Madini hills and the stretching of tea garden around Kampung Jowo Sekatul. To get to Kampung Jowo Sekatul, it can be taken 30 minutes by private vehicles or approximately 60 minutes by public transportation, both from Semarang and Ungaran. From Kendal, the object can be accessed through Kaliwungu, also approximately 30 minutes by private vehicles. With an entrance fee of only 2,000 rupiah for students and 3,000 rupiah for public. The visitors can see the six big Joglo house and the antique goods in it, starting from trinkets, ornaments, carvings, as well as classical Japanese furnitures are well maintained neatly. The Japanese nuances can feel more if you spend the night in Kampung Jowo. No mercury lights, and you have to forget the television programs a moment. However, there are several hotspots to access the internet. Listener, not just offers the uniqueness of classical buildings and all types of Japanese atmosphere, Kampung Jowo Sekatul also offers an interesting agro-tourism village. Paddy fields, medicinal plants cultivation, ornamental flowers, vanilla plantations and fresh strawberries that can be picked directly fruit cultivation and fishing arena can be found in Kampung Jawa Sekatul. For educational tour, it is over the package of making process of brown sugar, tofu, and tempeh. Kampung Jawa Sekatul also features camping facilities and garden party facilities. The area not just presents a uniqueness of Joglo classic and still maintain its authenticity. The existence of Kampung Jawa is also a proof of the loyalty of the owner, Harry Joyonegoro, to the history and efforts to preserving the Javanese culture. We listener, that was Indonesian Wonderful today with the topic Kampung Jawa Sekatul in Kendal, Central Java. We will meet again tomorrow with other topics. Sampai jumpa.
Radio Service, Voice of Indonesia, here is my language, informing you the traditional languages of Indonesia. Listener, Indonesia has hundreds of traditional languages spread across the regions. However, not all of them are known well by the people of Indonesia or even foreign people. One of them is Tobati language from Jayapura, Papua. Tobati language origins from the people living around Yotefa Bay or Jayapura Bay in Jayapura City, Papua Province. Currently, the speakers of Tobati language are spread in three districts in Papua Province, namely South Jayapura, Abepura, and Muara Tami. The amount of Tobati speakers in 1984 was 800 and becoming 600 in 1999. However, the number of speakers now is decreasing due to the influence of other languages. Even the speakers of Tobati language are predicted to be only 500 people remaining, which all of them are elderly. Therefore, the Tobati language is categorized as seriously endangered language. The alphabet of Tobati language uses the same ones with Indonesian or Latin. However, there are several characters unavailable in Tobati language, such as X, Q, V, and Z. Another uniqueness of Tobati language is its clause and sentence structure. If Indonesian structure consists of subject, predicate, object, the Tobati language uses subject, object, predicate. Listener, here is several word examples of Tobati language. Engu, engu, in English, I, entrica, entrica, in English, they. One, want, in English, eat. Nasre, nasre, in English, popeda. Moghot, moghot, in English, mount. Recau. Recau. In English, to hike. Rora. Rora. In English, yesterday. Listener, now here are some examples of sentences in Tobati language. Nu nasre want. Nu nasre want. In English, I eat popeda. Rora entrija mogot recau. Rora entrija mogot recau. In English, yesterday they hiked the mountain. Listener, that was my language for today about Tobati language. Thank you very much for listening, and sampai jumpa.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we present nostalgic songs from Indonesian female singer Andi Maria Matalata. Let's listen to the song entitled Hasrat dan Cita by Andi Maria Matalata. Happy listening.
Cahaya pelita di hamparan padang hidup manusia. Biarkan tanganmu terbuka menjabat penuh rama di dalam damba harap dan cita bila gelap. Selimut ceria di lingkaran temaram hidup yang nyata. Terciptaku banestapa, penuh nista dan dusta, di bawah kepalsuan yang ada. Ku ingin semua kan terhapus, baut di alam semesta, menata takjub kurnia sinarmu, melukiskan kata harumnya nirwana. Setulus doa yang lingkaran temaram hidup yang nyata. mataku bah nestapa penuh nista dan dusta di bawah kepalsuan yang ada ku ingin semua kan terhapus membabut di alam semesta menatap pecut kurnia sinarmu melukiskan kata harumnya nirwana setulus doa yang kini
Listener, you have just listened to the song Hasrat dan Cita by Andy Miriam Matalata, composed by an Indonesian musician, Faris R.M. The song, which contained in the album entitled Lembah Biru, was released in 1979. The song tells about the relationship between human and God Almighty. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Lembah Biru by Andy Miriam Matalata.
Sinar di matamu sambil terus berjalan menembus hutan jambu di mana kita selalu bertemu dengan terharu mengenangkan kembali saat lalu. Mengenangmu terlena.
That was the song entitled Lembah Biru by Andi Maryam Matalata. She was born with the name Andi Siti Maryam Nurul Kusumawardani Matalata. The female singer is better known with her popular name Andi Maryam Matalata. She was also known with the nickname Mutiara dari Selatan or Pearl from the South. The nickname was firstly given by Iskandar, a composer of or musician who composed a song especially for Andi Maryam with the same title, Mutiara dari Selatan. Andi Maryam started to sing from an early age. In 1970, she grabbed the first winner in the pop singing contest in Ujung Pandang or Makassar, South Sulawesi. After that, in 1973, she followed a similar event, but at the national level. In the event, she managed to become 10 finalists of pop singer in Indonesia. Listener, to conclude our segment for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Bahtera Cinta and Cinta Yang Hitam by Andi Maryam Matalata. Happy listening, sampai jumpa.
Duhai dambaan kalbu.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Langkah cinta yang menyatu, terimalah dengan tulus di hatimu.
Asmaraku, asmaramu, bagai kelaga yang biru, ini memancarkan sinar di hidupmu.
Asmaraku, asmaramu, bagai ceria rembulan, ku ingin engkau peluk cinta.
cintaku.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Stay tuned on 9525 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.